Well, now what the latest research is telling us about the best places to be living and working in New Zealand and why they may often be in opposition. Also, the lessons to be learned when it comes to attracting and retaining a skilled workforce in the provinces. The Motu study published today compiled quality of life and quality of business measures for towns and cities using census rent and wage data, 130 towns and cities, I think. It found few cities that ranked highly for both livability and jobs potential. And the ones that did, like Tauranga and Queenstown, were, as we know, expensive to live in. The news is good, though, that it's been possible for some locations with poor performance in the past to improve. At a time where there's great population pressures in parts of the country and other parts of the country crying out for workers, what can be learned from this research? Arthur Grimes from Motu Economic and Public Policy Research is one of the study's authors. Arthur, good morning.
Morning, Catherine.
So how did you do this?
Well, I should say this is part of the National Science Challenge 11, one of the government's National Science Challenges called Building Better Homes, Towns and Cities. And we were wanting to look at over a long period of time, what makes for a nice town to live in and what makes a nice town to do business. So we have census data, which is taken every 5 years or so, on wages and rents. And just very briefly, the intuition is as follows. If you live in a place where you have to pay a high rent but you accept low wages, it must have something else going for it. It must be a really nice place to live. And sometimes we colloquially call this sunshine wages. You know, a place like Nelson, low wages but high rents. It must have something really good going for it, and Nelson does, obviously. So we look at, in that case, the relationship between rents and wages. For businesses, if you can afford to pay high rents and high wages, it must be because you're very productive. You wouldn't set up in that place if you couldn't afford to pay both high rents and wages. So places with those characteristics are good places to do business.
So there's a bit of inferring going on.
Yeah, exactly.
How define quality of life? Because it occurs to me that when you are late teens, early 20s, a noisy, aggressive, big, exciting city many of us flock to,
yep.
When you're trying to buy a house and raise your kids, you might be starting to look for something a bit different. So how did you define the quality of life side of this?
Yeah, so this is a quality of life on average across the life cycle. One of our future pieces of work will actually be to look at which sorts of places are most attractive to people when they leave tertiary education. So, which is a really big time when you choose which city or town you're going to live in. So that's a future piece of work based on this one.
Do you have an age and stage in mind? Thinking of Auckland, and I'm sure we'll be discussing Auckland very soon, we're hearing over and over again, 10 times my average income to buy a house. I'm spending 2 hours commuting. I never get to see my kids. Do you have a typical life stage in mind for the conversation we're about to have, or just simply not got to that?
We haven't got to that yet, but if we take Auckland as an example, you're right that New Zealanders on average tend to leave Auckland and foreign people tend to move into Auckland. And on balance, that's been happening for quite a while. So we certainly see that at a life stage when people retire. They often move out of Auckland, sell up, get the big dollars from their house and move to Tauranga or somewhere that's more pleasant to live in.
There's an interesting effect in here, and I'll just make sure I understand it correctly, which is that things change. The effect of great place to do the effect was less pronounced in the second half of your sample. And did you reach a conclusion that as some cities grew but became more cosmopolitan, they held on to a quality of life that previously they might have lost?
Well, one of the things that we found was that clearly businesses want to do business in large places. You know, the bigger the city, the more attractive it is. That's a really important finding, and that's actually held right through the time. If anything, it's become stronger over time. But there are some smaller places, actually, which have got better places to do business over time, and I think they're interesting ones to look at. If you take examples like Martinborough or Oamaru or Blenheim, they've over time gradually become better places to do business, even though they're small. So I think for the business side, there is some chance of moving up in the rankings, if you like, if you do something to leverage your position.
What were the patterns that you definitely could detect from 80 years' worth of analysis?
Oh, this is actually, this we did an earlier study used 80 years.
Ah, right.
This one's from 1976 through to 2013, so it's almost 40 years.
And what were some of the other patterns?
Well, other than that businesses like big cities, we found that people like to live in places that are sunny, and that's become increasingly important over time, as it has right throughout the world. They like to live in a place by the sea or by a lake. But importantly, one of the changes that we've noticed is that people increasingly seem to like places with high education presence. So if you're in a town and you can be increasing the importance of education in your economy, that seems to be a draw card.
When did this particular study end?
2013.
That is interesting, because I was going to say Auckland's circumstances have changed a great deal over the last decade or 12 years, house prices and traffic congestion. Mm. But you would have captured a fair bit of that.
We did. And Auckland is actually a worse place to live now in relative terms, relative to the rest of the country, than it was at the start of our sample, for instance. As it's grown bigger and more congested, it's become a less attractive place in terms of quality of life.
What, when you look at some of the overlaying you've done, you've got your two your graphs overlapping here, your quality of business, your quality of life. Were there some that surprised you? Were there some small towns or cities that actually were hitting a sweet spot that surprised you?
Not necessarily that surprised us, no. I think the ones that hit the sweet spot were the ones that we would expect. They're places that tend to be attractive also to tourists. Or have something really nice going for it. You think Martinborough and Blenheim, both wine-growing areas, they've improved and leveraged on that over time. So they didn't really surprise us that much.
So we've got the two axes here. There were none that surprised you for quality of business, for example, that stood out out of
Auckland,
what you would expect.
No, Auckland and Wellington do really well. Queenstown does pretty well for most of the time. And Tauranga does okay. Christchurch does okay.
So you look at a place like Wellington and where it sits on quality of life, would that be a negative territory?
Yes.
Is that not slightly counterintuitive?
Well, I love Wellington. I'm a Wellingtonian, but having just ridden in on my bike in the pouring rain and wind and things, you can see why some people don't.
But are you counting amenities? Because it is fortunate in some instances, thanks to the taxpayer, it is fortunate at many of the amenities it has there. And does that factor, how much does that factor into quality of life?
Yeah, amenities are really important. And that's really behind what part of the quality of life here. I think what it's saying is that the amenities that we've got in Wellington, social amenities, cultural amenities, are helping to make up to some extent for the poor weather that we have.
Right. And you counted weather in, did you?
Well, weather is a big factor.
Well, it explains why it's down there.
Weather is a big factor in determining quality of life.
And Auckland's quality of life, again, a city with the harbour like it has, the amenities like it has. Yeah. How do you encapsulate a whole picture? Is there a risk of sort of individually picking out some measures that don't give the whole picture?
Well, this is based on, as I say, on rents and wages and what that implies. But if you look at Auckland, as it's got bigger and more congested, its quality of life has fallen. And I think that's not too surprising. I think people who live in Auckland many people would agree with that.
What do towns and cities learn from this? Because we are in a situation where one city, certainly, and more than one city, is under enormous pressure. Others are growing as fast as they can handle it seems. Other places are crying out for a workforce and perhaps could well do with some population increase. Mm-hmm. Is there something they can learn if they are going to invest in amenities or going to invest in any way, something they can learn from this?
Yeah, I think you have to ensure that when you're developing a town, that you're looking both at the quality of life side and the quality of business side. Often councils will focus on one or the other, but it's no good having a place where it's a great place to live if there's no jobs and vice versa. Just having jobs and it's not a great place to live doesn't make for a nice place. So you want to really focus on both of those areas. And I think some of the towns that have done that, they've leveraged their natural assets. So as I said, places like Martinborough, Oamaru, Blenheim, they've actually leveraged what they've got there and made it a nice place to live and a good place to
do business. What did Oamaru do? Because Blenheim, of course, is blessed with that easy tick box of amazing weather.
Yeah.
What did Oamaru do?
Well, I have some colleagues in this science challenge who've been looking at there, and they've been really trying to emphasise their built environment, the Oamaru
stone.
Beautiful old architecture, their penguins, their various other things. So they've looked at what have they got to offer and then really built on that. And I think that's a good lesson.
The lesson for Auckland is what? Pretty negative. Can it do anything to mitigate the challenges it's got?
Well, it's still a good place to do business, but they've got to do something, I think, to make it a better place to live, which is probably going to be
house prices. Anything?
Well, I suspect it's not house prices. That's a symptom of being a good place to do business. I think it's dealing something with their traffic.
Yeah. All right, so good lessons to be learned there. I think the other point on business is, and your research shows it, if you are too dependent on one industry or one employer, it can be catastrophic when it goes.
Yeah, if you look at quality of business in places like Tokoroa, Kawarau, Pātea early on, they've fallen quite substantially in terms of quality of business. They've been very reliant on sort of one industry, and when things go wrong for that industry, then it really loses attractiveness in those places.
Arthur, thank you very much for that. Arthur Grimes from Motu Research, that research released today.